You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. We have a lot of things that have come out of that. And so another article that came out basically called, the world has less trust in Facebook after the Zuckerberg hearing. And I quote from this article in April, "In fact, the results indicate that nearly half of the respondents, 45%, trust Facebook even less than they did before the testimony, with 28% reporting that they have much less faith in the company now." And so Zuckerberg did nothing to waylay fears, and it's in part because I think Congress wasn't able to do its job successfully and really hold Facebook accountable to this. It was a lot of show and a lot of people that simply just had no idea. If I had been a congressman or a senator in that room and I had 2 to 5 minutes with him, I would have gone to town. But I also understand technology. I know how it works. I'm in the cybersecurity business, etc. These people are not. And I think that was a serious, serious miss on the government's part. And moving on to May, I mean, now what we have completing is a whole bunch of different investigations from the 2016 Russia scandal. You know, did Russia influence and blah, 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 the election. And so in May, Bloomberg came out with an article that said, and I quote, "Congress releases all 3,500 plus Facebook ads bought by the Russians." Now, this revolves around the Internet Research Agency. And I quote, "Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee released on Thursday more than 3,000 Facebook ads from 2015 to late 2017 bought by the Russia-based Internet Research Agency, IRA. The company, which is linked to Russian-backed propaganda efforts across social media, used these ads on Facebook and on Facebook-owned Instagram to try to create political chaos and hurt U.S. democracy," lawmakers said. And so I personally downloaded all 3,500, 3,600 ads that the Internet Research Agency did, and I've actually talked about that on the radio show here, and it is fascinating, a lot of what they have done. So, and on a single day, they would have an advertisement basically saying, like, "Oh, don't believe the cops. You know, they're going to beat up minorities and oppress you." And at the exact same time, they would release on the same day an advertisement that said, "We support our boys in blue, and don't believe the lies of the left," and all this kind of stuff, speaking to specific demographics in an attempt to drive a wedge between geographic areas. It's fascinating, but it absolutely went on, and the ads are just shocking, to say the least, in that sense. And so Facebook was definitely used as a platform for misinformation, for a state agency, a foreign state agency rather, during a U.S. election. Now, continuing on in May, basically, it came to light, according to CNN.com, Cambridge Analytica ran voter suppression campaigns, whistleblower claims. That is the headline of a CNN article talking about this. So we start to uncover a lot more problems with the Cambridge Analytica thing, because they are taking psychological profiles and trying to appeal to voters, whether it's to get them to the polls for their candidate or obviously to suppress them. And a whistleblower working from Cambridge Analytica came out with that, which is another bombshell for that. And then moving forward into June, CNBC reports, and I quote the headline of the article, "Facebook tells Congress that it uses security app Onavo to analyze what people are doing in other apps." And this is actually another one that I've talked about on the air as well. Onavo is a free VPN, or virtual private network, app that Facebook allows you to download. And what it does, it does what it says it's going to do, which is encrypt the data as it leaves your phone, goes to the internet, and then out. The difference is that because Onavo is owned by Facebook, as soon as your data goes through Onavo and then goes to wherever you're going, so let's say you're going to Google or ESPN or, you know, whatever you're into, then what ends up happening is Facebook can now track it. So you're outside of Facebook's ecosystem. You've got Onavo running on your phone to ostensibly protect it. And then you open up a browser that is not Facebook related and go somewhere. Now Facebook knows where you're going, and they're tracking it back to Facebook. So they're getting deeper information on you outside of their app, which is just a truly dastardly thing. And so all of this stuff is coming to light. You know, further in June, Politico had an article basically claiming that Facebook lied to Congress. And I quote, lawmakers are slamming Facebook over a report that the company shared its users' personal data with a range of device makers, which one House Democrat suggested means Mark Zuckerberg lied under oath in April. Now, they were giving users' personal data to device makers, those that make mobile phones and other products. Part of the problem that we have with that, obviously, is one, we may not necessarily have consented to that, or if we did, it was in their 85 billion word, you know, end user license agreement buried in like, you know, subsection double Z 248 kind of thing. But the device makers, or rather some of the device makers that received our personal information, U.S. Citizens' personal data, as well as other countries, it was given to Chinese device makers. Now, if we know anything about Chinese corporations, it's that oftentimes they're beholden to the state. And so the Chinese state is authoritarian in nature, and they are data mining everything to the nth degree. So if my personal information is being given from Facebook to a Chinese device manufacturer, like let's say Huawei, which is a whole other story that I actually talked about in my last radio show, then we are giving, Facebook has been giving personal data from users to China. That is a awful and terrifying prospect of this. And it's because they're being paid to do it. It's money. At the end of the day, it's money. And so sticking in June, Vice had an article as well. The article title is Facebook waited 16 days to tell people their private posts were actually public. And I quote, on Thursday, this is in June. On Thursday, Facebook revealed that a bug in a new feature it was testing had made public posts that 14 million of its users thought were private. The company reportedly knew about the problem on May 22nd, but they waited 16 days to disclose it. And so once again, you have a violation of user trust, of public trust here. If I have my Facebook account, and I do have one, but it's heavily locked down. You can go to my public one /NickAESP and follow me there and get all of my daily thoughts on cybersecurity, etc. But I have a personal Facebook account. It doesn't have my name on it. I don't have any identifying pictures and all that. I post very infrequently on it as well, just because of privacy concerns. But on the rare times I do post, those are for the specific friends that I am friends with on Facebook. My Facebook is very locked down. I don't want those out into the public, especially if it's my personal thoughts that are then, you know, stolen and copied. It's one of the reasons why my name is nowhere on that Facebook account. And so it's a serious problem that they would do this and then just simply not inform their users, that which they should be taking the most care with. And so continuing on, I mean, we're moving from June now into July, and, you know, we're almost halfway done with the year, and it's just on and on and on. And I keep going here, you know, because it's just so, so long. And so I quote again, according to thehill.com, Facebook has revealed a new coordinated disinformation campaign ahead of November's elections that used dozens of fake accounts and pages on its platforms. So once again, for the upcoming 2018 midterm election at that time, Facebook basically had to come out and say, oh, yes, well, we've caught more. Because the practices that they had put in place were basically non-existent, for this. It was a serious problem that they had with this. So moving on in July and to another one from the New York Times, and this article is called Facebook Faces Broadened Federal Investigations Over Data and Privacy. And I quote, Facebook said on Monday that it faced an expansion of federal investigations into its sharing of user data with the political consulting firm Cambridge Analytica, with more government agencies inquiring about the matter and examining the social network statements about the episode. And that's again another problem. I mean, the U.S. government is coming in and looking at them over and over and over, because we just keep getting more and more revelations in the news. You know, further in July, if we keep going, according to the New Republic, there's an article titled Facebook is still abusing your privacy. And I quote, despite promises from Mark Zuckerberg, the company's embrace of facial recognition technology suggests that it has no intentions of changing. I mean, there's, when we look at this and we are you know, and this with the facial recognition technology, Facebook is running one of the largest biometrics databases on the planet. Roughly 50% of all Americans are in a facial recognition database thanks to Facebook. And so now that they've got a new device out, Facebook Portal, that literally is a camera in your home, a smart home device, that camera follows you and understands everybody in your family due to facial recognition, that's an issue. I mean, that's a serious, serious problem. And so keeping on in July, I mean, we're still in July. Another article by AOL.com, CEO Mark Zuckerberg loses $16 billion in record fall. And so the company itself back in March dropped $58 billion. And then in July, because everything is coming to light, Zuckerberg lost $16 billion. And still in July, according to Vox, Facebook is under scrutiny from four federal agencies, including the SEC or Security and Exchange Commission. And so we've had congressional hearings. We have the SEC, the FTC, the Federal Trade Communications. I know the FCC, prior to Ajit Pai becoming the helm of that under Tom Wheeler, they were investigating Facebook as well. I mean, it's on and on and on with this. I mean, and then from July, we moved to August. According to ABC News, HUD, you know, the Housing and Urban Development Department, filed a formal complaint against Facebook for housing discrimination in terms of them putting up their workers and who they were putting their workers up. Now, this speaks in part to, one, their culture. They are a company that is predominantly white, at least in Silicon Valley. And I'll have more on that in a bit, but, you know, this just keeps going. I mean, it just keeps going. You know, moving up to September, the New York Times has an article that said Facebook security breach exposes accounts of 50 million users. This is on top of all the Cambridge Analytica stuff. They basically had disclosed forcing a logout, my account included. All my devices were logged out. I had to log back in. And then Facebook issued a statement that said, we had a problem where stuff might have been illegally accessed and for 50 plus million, and that's probably a low number. And so they forced a reset on that. And so they had a data breach, basically, that they disclosed. And we don't know how long that went on for, because a recent trend that I've talked about is that they are, meaning large companies, are starting to get really vague with details in data breaches. And that's a serious problem, especially for cybersecurity community and workers, because it makes it harder for us to defend our clients when they are using their services. And so sticking with September, Fast Company, which is a outlet for Forbes, and again, full disclosure, I write for them, they had an article called Facebook's new home gadget might have a creepy camera as its main feature. This is talking about the Facebook portal that I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago. This is a home thing to compete with the Amazon Echo, and Google Home and all this kind of stuff. That basically puts a camera in your house, but the camera is going to follow you. And because Facebook is all about facial recognition, they know that as you're walking through your house, they take a picture. They'll know where you spend your time. Obviously, it's recording live what you say in terms of conversations and all of that. And Amazon has famously gotten in trouble for that. And so, you know, we have to imagine that Facebook, because it's listening for trigger words like an Amazon Echo or Google Home would, it has to listen to everything to listen to those, which means it has the ability to record. Sticking in September, we'll keep moving. Bloomberg had an article, and I quote, and this is the title, Instagram founders depart Facebook after clashes with Zuckerberg. Now, we're starting to see articles where there is, at the very top echelons of Facebook's leadership, a lot of problems, a lot of issues, a lot of infighting and arguments. And you're going to see a couple of other articles now that we are moving, from September into October. And so the beginning of October, the New York Times had, or actually the middle of October, the New York Times had this article, and I quote, and this is the title, "The poison on Facebook and Twitter is still spreading." And I will continue to quote, "Social media platforms have a responsibility to address misinformation as a systemic problem instead of reacting to case after case." And so that was actually a response to Facebook's Facebook's response in a Time article where they moved 800 fake news accounts. And so the New York Times did an as 5,000 word expose called "The Poison on Facebook and Twitter is Still Spreading," just talking about the culture issues, the problems we have with data mining. There is no real privacy that you get on Facebook at all. And literally, I urge all of you to read that article. But yeah, it's literally called "The Poison on Facebook and Twitter is Still Spreading." And so Facebook responded to that, Engadget posted or published that basically they said, you know, that it's obviously not this bad. They've refuted some of the claims and all that, but it is a seriously damning article. And I highly recommend it's a good read. In November, another bombshell was dropped by the New York Times in an article called "Delay, Deny, and Deflect: How Facebook's Leaders Fought Through the Crisis." And so this is another just fantastic article and reporting by the New York Times with a lot of original sources. Basically, you know, when all of this started coming to light with Cambridge Analytica and Russian hacking and the disinformation, and that Facebook was used as a platform and a medium to essentially allow fake news, bad news, everything, good, bad, on the right and the left and everything, they delayed as much as they could, skipped hearings. They denied that all of this happened. They deflected blame to third-party app developers and other entities and all of that. And that is so telling of a culture that refuses to take responsibility. Now, I am one of those people that believes in the Japanese concept of the only way forward is through truth. And that is just one of the big problems that we have. If you can't own your mistakes and you're blaming everybody else to try to keep what you have going intact, you're ultimately going to fail. And so we are now into November, you know, coming up on this, and this has been the longest deep dive I've ever done. But in November, continuing in November, after the New York Times bombshell article, USA Today posted a story on the 27th that basically says, "Does Facebook have a black people problem?" And what they're talking about is a culture of supposed or alleged, I should say, discrimination against employees that are black or African American in the Facebook culture, denied promotions or, basically one individual was talking in this article about like how he seemed to be genuinely distrusted by his other colleagues that were white, and it's a serious problem, and it's inklings we've seen. And I picked the USA Today article because it was rather descriptive, but multiple articles came out at this time, for this. Keeping in November, we can move back to Forbes, and Forbes posted an article on the 27th, and the title is "Facebook's Zuckerberg Ignores, Quote, the New Reality by Skipping Fake News Inquiry in London." Now, if you are not familiar with this, at the end of November, 9 governments around the world, and they're smaller governments, except I think Brazil, I think, was the largest one in terms of population, came together and created a coalition that demanded Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg come and answer their questions. And every one of these countries, obviously, is a pretty pretty solid market for Facebook. They didn't go. Zuckerberg didn't go. They didn't send anybody to face any kind of questioning with this, which I think is kind of telling, because obviously they're having serious problems and world governments are starting to take notice. The European Union, as I mentioned before with the GDPR, multiple government organizations in the United States are now investigating them. Now countries themselves are calling together for coalitions in this. We're looking at an entire year, and I'm going to wrap this up in December here with this Business Insider. Business Insider in December had a article called "The Secret Facebook Documents Have Just Been Published by British Parliament." And I actually did a video on this, I want to say, in the last couple of weeks or so, because this is just the latest of every bombshell that I literally listed out here from January to December. And I quote this article from Business Insider: "The papers show Facebook whitelisting firms in return for access to data and taking aggressive positions against rivals, such as Twitter's defunct video app Vine." Now, in these, and I've read them, and I shared these out, basically Facebook went ahead and Vine, which was a video competitor that Twitter had spun up, would shut them out. So if, let's say, a friend of a friend posted something on Vine or posted something on Facebook regarding like a Vine video, you might not be able to click the link or go to it and all of that. Now, that I don't necessarily have a problem with, in the sense that Facebook is a private company beholden to their shareholders, and so they can do whatever they want with that kind of stuff. But where it went further, and what the British Parliament was actually able to uncover through this documentation, is that Facebook has been going, especially on Android phones, has been going, if you have the Facebook app installed, it's been going outside of Facebook's ecosystem and scraping data from text messages in other areas of your personal communication. And that is a serious, serious flaw or problem or issue, because we are looking at an entire ecosystem in our mobile phones that now Facebook is getting access to. And that is unconscionable to me. If I develop an app and you use my app and my end user agreement says, hey, anything you do with the app, I'm going to use for analytics or advertising purposes and stuff, you accept that and then you use my app. What I shouldn't be able to do is say, hey, I'm going to reach into other apps. I'm going to reach into your text messages, your emails, your anything else, and I'm going to scrape that data and then I'm going to use that to advertise to you, or I'm going to use that to hold it against you. And as we saw earlier in the year with Facebook's VPN service, Onavo, they were doing exactly that. You'd open up your web browser on your phone that has nothing to do with Facebook, route through it through Onavo, and Onavo would be recording it on the back end. If it's free, you're the product. And so that is all of the evidence, literally file after file, article after article, from top tier sources on just all the problems that we have. We are being data mined to the nth degree. We have serious problems when it comes to privacy and protection, and we are giving this away. Now, a recent study, I want to say in the last year or two, basically said that all of this information that Facebook has collected on us, that they are selling to advertisers, both inside and now outside, apparently, Facebook's ecosystem, is the rough equivalent of about $12 per user. All of your thoughts, your information, your interactions, everything that you do on Facebook, according to this, is about $12. That's insane. And so there has been a huge call to shut down Facebook, or rather just to leave the platform. The problem that we have is that Facebook has no natural competitors whatsoever. They just don't. And so when we're looking at this, we can quit Facebook, but, you know, okay, we can use YouTube for videos. We can use other things for news feeds, but there's no direct competitor that combines a similar ecosystem like Facebook into one platform. And by virtue of this, some leaders and politicians have thought that Facebook in some ways is a monopoly, even though it's a serious gray area, because you can point to any aspect of Facebook and find a competitor to that, whether it's Twitter or, you know, I don't know, take your pick. But nobody out there, there is no other thing like Bookface or something, you know, that has everything, that checks every box that Facebook does. And so it's very hard to leave the ecosystem. It's very hard to say no to this kind of stuff. But this is where we're at. I mean, this is, this is a problem that we have. And so, you know, it's a serious blow to our privacy, to our internal communications. But what I think ends up happening is hopefully we as a society learn from this. Hopefully whatever replaces Facebook in the future, as Facebook continues to take a nosedive, will not pay lip service to our privacy. It will actually protect us. It will actually have our best interests in mind. Maybe that means some of us pay $5-$10 a month, you know, to use the service, and we don't get tracked and data mined, and you can still use it for free where you do. And that's fine. I mean, you can make your choice in life, and if you don't care, then who cares? But for those of us that want our privacy, even if we have nothing to hide, it's more the principle of it. You know, that's what we want. And so I have made the conscious choice not to really interact with Facebook beyond that which I need for my own business, my own marketing, / Nick AESP, to make sure that my videos get out to the general public. And Facebook doesn't seem to have a problem with it, even when I'm going after Facebook with this. So take all of this for what it's worth. It is the longest deep dive I've ever done in the history of the Deep Dive Radio Show. It was pretty much the entire show, but I think it's an important issue. And at the end of the year, we really need to be thinking about these things. So as always, stay safe and stay online out there. And you might want to rethink using that Facebook account in the future. And this has been your Deep Dive of the Week. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the tip of the week. And if you have an idea for a tip of the week, I am all ears. I'm more than happy to entertain anything. You can find me at Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP, or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com, and I'm more than happy to give you a shout out here for your tip of the week. Let's begin. And this week's tip of the week is actually on maintaining privacy in what is rather an unprivate world. And there are a couple of different things that we can do to try to maintain privacy, while we're using our technology. And so there are some things that you may not necessarily be able to escape. So, for example, because our deep dive was about Facebook, we might want to uninstall the app from our phone, for example, because that's going to stop it from doing everything that I was talking about in the deep dive segment, stealing data from outside of Facebook's ecosystem. And also it's not going to allow Facebook to track you. And so I have some business devices like an Android tablet, for example, that I don't have any social media on, like Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. I'm also not uploading videos there, which kind of makes it a lot easier. So I need it on my phone. But there are things that we can do to ensure privacy in that sense. One, if we have to have these apps running, and let's say we're not going to give these things up, and this is kind of a response to what I said in the deep dive of, well, some people are just going to remove, or stop using this. If you're going to keep using it, then there's a couple of different things that you can do. One, you can buy a legitimate VPN service. Do not use Facebook's Anavo. And if you listen to the deep dive, you will know exactly why not to use that. Go get yourself a better internet one. I use Private Internet Access is one. NordVPN is another good player. And there's some others out there. It'll cost you $30 to $50 roughly for the year. And you can usually use it on simultaneous devices for private internet access. I have it on 5 devices. And it costs me like $30 to $50 a year. So for me, totally, totally worth it. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.